When we talk to most of the fitness coaches, they talk about their programs, their client success rate, and the fat loss techniques. But here this gentleman talks about entrepreneurship, trainers' welfare, and future of training clients online. He's a leads-trained physiotherapist, master trainer for many international organizations, and he has been a faculty of this year's Asia Fitness Convention. In a current episode, we are presenting the new age Shapingo and serial entrepreneur, Arun Chahal.
Hi Arun, welcome to Road to Revamp. Though you don't need any introduction, but still, for the sake of listeners, please tell us something about Arun Chahal.
First of all, thank you so much for having me on this podcast. Looking at the list of people that you've already had on podcast, I think I've got very big shoes to fill in. And I don't consider myself an expert in any domain, but again, I'm thankful to Sagar and yourself. I think he's on his way to Canada for some further education,
yes,
is it?
Yes.
Okay, wishing me all the best also. My story, it all started back in 2009 when I graduated from a physical therapy college. I had a bachelor's degree in physiotherapy. I started working at a hospital.
Okay.
Now, ever since in my teenage years, my college years, my school years, I was always athletic. You know, I was playing cricket or volleyball or basketball. I was representing national level, under 19, you know, football for Haryana and stuff. So I was always athletic. And then after school, college came, and then there's so many hordes of books that I had to read and go through to become a doctor. Uh-huh. And after my graduation, I started working at a hospital in Delhi. It's a well-reputed hospital. I started working there as an assistant physio. And, you know, in India, when you're hired as an assistant, that means you're an assistant plus you're a senior also. Because
yeah.
You have to do all the work that a senior has to do because you're given all the work.
Right.
So I was, instead of doing 8 hours, I was doing 12 hours, 16 hours of just seeing patients all day long, in-house patients, OPDs and stuff like that. So after 3 years, I somehow started not enjoying that life. I became depressed. I found the hospital life to be very commercial. And I realized that there were some, you know, cases which did not require some intervention, but they were given intervention just because they were insured from some other company and the hospital was getting money. So that was one point where I realized, you know, I need to do something for myself to at least get some sanity in my head.
Right.
So I went to a gym, a naya gym called the Gold Gym in Cyber City. I went to that gym. I went to the gym to join it because the pre-sales chal raha tha, to sasti membership mil rahi thi. So I went there and I met the head trainer. He said, he showed me the gym around. I really liked it. I said, you know what, I'm going to join it and I'm going to start working out from whenever you guys open. So he asked me, what do you do? And I told him I'm a physical therapist. So he said, we are looking for a physical therapist if you're interested to join us.
Yeah.
And without even thinking twice, I joined that place.
Right.
I joined that place. I worked there for 3 months and you wouldn't believe, for 3 months, out of 3 months, for 2 months, I wasn't allowed to take personal training or anything. My only job was to rack the weights up. So my job, niche members phila dete hain, to rack them up. But I knew that being a physical therapist, and I saw the trainers, their training and what they were doing and, you know, what was happening around. So I realized that, you know, this is a gold mine for me.
Yeah.
if I am able to use my virtues of physical therapy and add on something into fitness, I can become like an awesome package. So those 3 months, I squeezed in every bit of juice that I could from this trade. And then came a time when I was hired by Fitness First. I started working for Fitness First, and you know, they have their own process of creating a personal trainer.
Right.
They give you an induction in 15 days, you know, then you have to give an examination clear, and then you're able to, which I think is pretty good if you compare the other gyms around. So I started my personal training journey from there, and after 18 months I left that place. Somewhere down inside me, I knew that I had something more in me. I left that place, I started doing freelance personal training, and then was a time when I realized, you know, freelance personal training is only going to last for a few years, probably 10, 15, 20, and what after that? And I needed that financial security for myself and for my partner. So then I thought of getting into fitness education. So becoming an educator was the next step. That, you know, I can educate probably till I'm 60 maybe, but if I'm till 50, that's till when I can
personal train. Average age of personal training.
Right. So then I became an educator. Then I was very fortunate that, you know, I got this opportunity to become a TRX educator. And their process of creating a course instructor was, you know, it has a very high standard. The kind of scrutiny that I had to go through to become a course instructor for them. And then I also represent a few other companies like Trigger Point, Dynamax, Twist Sports Conditioning. Once they knew that I was working with a giant like TRX, it was very easy for me to crack the other master training programs. So that's how I became an educator. And again, when you're in person training space, sometimes you get a lot of money also. Yeah. So I had a lot of savings with me. And then I used that money to work. And that's my baby, which is Chefingo.
Right.
Which is a health food kitchen, and we operate from Gurgaon, so that's one business of mine. So that's my introduction, and it's a big introduction.
It's a huge introduction, but worthwhile to listen. We can learn a lot from this introduction
journey
and change a lot of things in our own life. Okay, there is, you know, growing certification thing in this country, in this fitness industry. Every other trainer is becoming a certification provider. These days. And I totally agree that education is very important. I want to understand from you how important education and certifications are to be a good coach. Not just, you know, collecting information, collecting certifications and posting it on Facebook, but as a coach, how helpful these good certifications are.
So I think when, you know, there are two different things, education and certification. You can be educated without a certificate, and you can be certified without education. So these are two different things, and if you were to ask me, education is important. Yes, of course, education is important, because fitness is a trade, it's an industry. Any industry you go to, there is a growth curve and there is a learning curve, and they go simultaneously. The more you learn, the more you grow. And I also, you know, have this philosophy that I sometimes share, and it's a circle. So imagine there's a circle. At the top you have learning. Right, so you learn, then imagine it's a clock. At 12 o'clock you've got learning, at 3 o'clock you've got earning. Because aap zyada learn karoge to aap zyada earn karoge. Jab aap earn karoge, so 6 o'clock pe again there's learning.
Right.
And then on 9 o'clock there is again earning. So when you learn more, you earn more. So that's a circle. And it's not even a circle, it's a spring. You know how a spiral comes up? It's a spiral. The more you keep learning, the more you keep earning, the more you keep growing up in your career. Now, having said that, being a certificate provider, being a holder of different kind of certificates holds no value if you're not able to translate that knowledge to your end user, which is your client or which whomever you are helping. There's a quote which says, it's not about how much you know, it's about how much can you give.
Right.
How much knowledge can you give to somebody? I could be a trainer who knows 10 different things and not give even a single one to my client. But if a trainer only knows two things and he's giving all those two things to his clients, he's a better coach.
That's true.
So I think coaching ke liye education is definitely more important. But certifications, well, two different views that I have about certifications is that certifications are the courses or are the processes jisme you have to be scrutinized to be able to get to a level. Now for that scrutiny, you have to be physically capable to showcase certain skill, whatever you have learned in that certification. And you have to be theoretically a little bit more sound. For example, if there's a course which talks about myofascia or something, you need to know at least the names of the lines in myofascia and how does it affect certain movements. So that's a certification where you go through this process, learning curve, and you give an examination, you're scrutinized, and then you get marks, and then you go ahead and practice that. And then there's qualification. Now, qualification are those workshops or courses where you come, you learn certain skill for 8 hours. But then, your job as a trainer who has attended that qualification is to go back home and practice it.
Well,
keep practicing it, keep getting better at it. Because there's no way in the world that you can be a master in certain skill in 8 hours. Right?
Right.
So, to have that perspective that I've done one course and I'm certified in this and now, you know, I'm a coach, it's not great. But education is definitely
important.
Important. And there are different avenues that you can educate yourself, right? Reading a book could be a great education, right? Watching probably some coach speaking could be an education. So education could be of different shapes and sizes.
You're listening to this podcast.
Listening to this podcast is definitely going to be very interesting and educating for a lot of people. So, are they important? Yes, they are. But one thing that you need to be really careful while choosing the right kind of courses and certification that you have to go to, which will add value to you and your domain. Now, for example, if I'm a strength, like I'm a power lifter coach, right? Doing Pilates is not going to add value to my job, right?
Yes.
But having that skill in the back of my head probably might help me knowing a little bit more, right? And that knowing ke liye, I don't need to go to a course and get myself certified and say that, you know, I'm certified and show that certificate. I mean, I need to be, you know, I need to choose my line. If my expertise are in functional training, I might as well just stay in functional training, right? I might not go into the aesthetic color line because that's not my domain. I want to stay in my domain, right? So, again, the kind of courses you choose, which will add value to you, well, they're definitely important. One more thing. There was a survey back in 2005. They did a survey in, I think, top 5 metropolitan cities, and they figured out that 1 out of 7 people were suffering from diabetes.
Right.
Madhumeh. So, and they did a survey again in 2015. So, 2005 mein, I'm not expecting that there will be many gyms, honge, bahut sare, you know, personal training to bahut hi kam log hi kara rahe honge us time pe, zyada coaches honge hi nahi. So, in 2015, I've seen the career, I've seen myself in 2015 and the number of gyms we had and the number of trainers we had and the number of professionals that we had, you know, around metropolitan city especially. Yani ki, 10 साल में अगर दुगनी नहीं तो एटलीस्ट कुछ तो ग्रोथ हुई है इन टर्म्स ऑफ नंबर ऑफ प्रोफेशनल्स एंड नंबर ऑफ जिम्स डेफिनेटली. सेकेंडली दैट इफ देर आर सो मेनी एवेन्यूज फॉर पीपल टू गेट फिट राइट दैट मीन्स दैट मधुमेह का 1:7 का रेशियो शुड हैव इंक्रीज्ड.
यस
बट द डाउनफॉल वॉज दैट दैट रेशियो केम डाउन टू 1:3. एवरी पर्सन आउट ऑफ 3 पीपल इज सफरिंग फ्रॉम डायबिटीज. So now that means we have infrastructure, we've created infrastructure, but what we don't have is the knowledge and education. So that means education to definitely ek underlining factor hai, and it's also, if I were to talk about in commercial terms, it's also a upcoming profession, you know, the education is an upcoming profession too. So to fill in that gap, education is definitely important, but the avenues, you have to be very selective, you have to choose the right kind of stuff, you have to know the authenticity, you need to probably look at testimonies of people who've been to such courses, right? And then choose those courses and then take your career and, you know, for a coach or a trainer to become better at it. But again, the ladder of becoming a better coach is, first step is education, second is practice or experience, and third is application. So once you take these three steps and you don't take a lift, you are okay. You can become a better coach.
Arun, you are amongst very few Indian trainers who reach to international stage, not just to learn, but to teach. Very few educators we have for teaching at international level. So what is the one thing which motivated you to become an educator and spread the learning about what you have learned?
See, number one thing was, like I mentioned to you, that I was concerned about the longevity of my career. So I wanted, you know, another...
That's a candid answer.
Yeah, so I, of course, I wanted another source of income. And I figured out very early in my college days that I was very great at presentation. I was good at presentations. And so I thought I might as well use that skill to sort of come in and, you know, be better at doing whatever I was. And then becoming an educator was also difficult because you need to know a lot of stuff.
That's
you need to, if you're presenting something in front of 15 people, you might never know if you find a geek like yourself and who asks a dodgy question and you can't be like stumped there, right? So you need to do a lot of reading, a lot of learning. You need to stay updated with what's going on and, you know, all of that. So I took that up like a challenge. And so that was also number two motivation for me. Number three motivation was that I found myself very comfortable when I was meeting new people, talking to new people, you know, learning from their experiences, sharing my experiences with them. And, you know, that the whole experience of that, the warmth that I get, you know, when I meet new people, when I make new friends. And that was also one thing that I really enjoyed. And I figured out that, you know what, once when I delivered my first course, I knew that I'm going to be super excited for the rest of my life that I'm doing this job. And I'm like totally in love with my job. So that's my third motivation of being a fitness educator. Yeah.
When you take courses, sometimes like when I take classes or sometimes I take some courses, mobility courses, there is a kind of emotional attachment with the participants.
Yes.
How does it help to get emotionally attached with your student while you are teaching? Or is it, as a professional, we should do that in being emotionally attached?
See, I mean,
with your course where and with your students.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm delivering a course, A, there are two kinds of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One is that you have limited time to give out certain content that you're supposed to. Like, for example, if I'm running a TRX course, I've got a script for 8 hours.
Right.
So I have to follow that script, right? B, the second pressure is when I'm delivering that script, it also should be, you know, trainers who are in front of me, they should also be able to comprehend that.
Right.
So the challenge that I have and the emotional connect that I have during my courses is that I sometimes try to dumb things down so much and use live examples that people are able to relate to what concept I'm giving. Right? So that's a part that I really like. So every course that I go to, I would use a different, you know, example of showing something and
something which people connect with.
Connect with, right? So and Albert Einstein said this, that if you're not able to explain something to a child, you don't know it. Or if you're not able to explain it, I don't remember the
exact in a simple way.
Right. Yes. And so that's my emotional connect with every course that I go to. That I need to make sure that everybody who walks out of that room has understood the concept. If they have not understood it, at least they've got the sense of it. At least they've got that, and we call it a fuck moment.
Okay.
Fuck moment, F-U-C-K, finally understanding the critical knowledge. I don't think otherwise.
No, even that is it.
So it's called finally understanding critical knowledge. This is basically a phenomena where you have understood a concept today. Lekin aapko wo do din baad samajh mein aayega.
Right.
When you're in a shower, you realize, oh, this is what Arun was saying.
Yes.
So I always look forward to those kind of stories when somebody calls me up and says, you know what, sir, mere ko wo samajh mein aa gaya, and you know, I really like what you said, and now I am understanding when I did it myself when I was at the gym, the movement or whatever I was saying. So that's the kind of connect I have. So my
that
job
Eureka
is
Eureka moment.
That Eureka moment. And I try to name it fuck.
That's an interesting name. I mean, we can connect with it easily. Arun, what are the different specializations you have and what are the different certifications you take for trainers?
Okay, so you mean qualifications I teach?
What are your qualifications
and courses that I
run? And
So, I'm a physical therapist.
Yeah.
I'm a certified personal trainer from ACSM.
Mm-hmm.
And I have done qualifications in TRX, Trigger Point, Dynamax, Viper, Bosu, and kettlebells. So my domain has always been rehabilitation and functional training. So I've always stick to these two lanes, and I've never wanted to switch lanes to come to say bodybuilding or to be in some other kind of aesthetic, you know, stuff. So
crazy fat loss business.
Yeah, so I've not wanted to, you know, be there. I always stick to my lanes, which was rehabilitation, which came from my physiotherapy background, and functional training, which came through these other upgrading programs that I've always been going to, like TRX and stuff. The courses that I teach, well, I represent TRX. I run three courses for them: suspension training course, functional training course, and grip training course. Two of these courses are on specific equipments. One of them is a multimodality course that I teach. Then I also represent Trigger Point. For Trigger Point, I again take three courses. There's a 4-hour foam rolling course, principle, basic principles. Then there is an 8-hour, which is a level 2 myofascial release technique course, which is called myofascial compression technique, MCT. And then the third course is Smart Core, like self myofascial release technique with some core exercises involved. So it's like a more integrated program. Then I teach Dynamax Coach course. So Dynamax are those big balls, medicine balls that we you know mostly see in CrossFit studios. So I also run a course on them. And the last one is Twist Sports Conditioning, which is again they've got a very amazing functional training philosophy of how one should approach functional training. So it has to have all you know. It has to create a balance between agility and strength and balance and core and all of that. So they have their own philosophy of training and how to go about it. So this is what I, these are the courses that I teach. And
so do you think, like people say, TRX can replace the whole gym?
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as I know, TRX is costly.
Yeah.
At least one time investment.
Yeah.
So if there are a lot of gyms available already around us, is it still advisable to invest in TRX as a layman?
Right. So, I'll share a story here.
Yeah.
When I
like stories.
When I joined Fitness First, and Fitness First, me was time pe there used to be grades of trainers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Silver, gold, platinum. Now they have superstar and I don't know what. But when I became a silver personal trainer, that's like that means that your personal training. So silver ka category, you know. Criteria tha that your experience is low, plus your price is also low.
Right.
So it's the cheapest personal training available in Fitness First at that time. And like any other commercial space, we were also given targets to achieve. I definitely was not the smartest guy in the gym as a salesperson. I knew my stuff. I knew the muscles and anatomy and biomechanics and all of that. But I was definitely not a salesperson. So when the first month came, I was super excited. Oh, I'm going to become a personal trainer and, you know, I'm going to do sales and I'm going to create, you know, a list of clients. Blah, blah, blah. First month, I failed my budget, which was bare minimum. Like, people were like, you know, so much and yet you have not even sold one single personal training in 1 month.
Right.
That's like 31 days. And I was like very disappointed. And that was the time when actually TRX came in India and we were part of the pilot course at that time. And in the course, there was a moment when they were describing about a normal person who comes to a gym. And I converted that concept into my sales pitch. And the concept was, and it is very, very genuine, you know, phenomena that happens. For example, an IT professional, right? He comes to a gym, you know, he wants to train. And so if I were to break down his day, right? So how many hours do you think he sleeps on a normal day? How many hours do you think he sleeps?
6 to 8 hours.
6 to 8 hours, so let's take 7 hours, right? How much time do you think he spends in the office sitting and working on his desk?
Around 8 hours.
8 hours, so that makes it 15. Again, he wants to go to a coffee shop after his work hours, or he wants to go to a bar, have a couple of drinks with his friends. Again, 1 hour's gone.
Yeah.
Commute time, he's sitting in the car driving, again, 2 hours gone. So that makes it, again, 19 hours. He wants to go back home, probably watch some Netflix. You know, he wants to sit with his wife, have dinner, you know, have breakfast, include that. That's again 2 hours. So, 22 ghante khatam ho gaye. Right? 2 ghante bache. Ab 2 ghante mein wo aayega, banda gaadi park karega, upar aayega, change karega, workout karega, take a shower, go back home. Right? That's the day.
Right?
That's how a normal day of an IT professional would look like. So, when I used to break that day out, now, what's the first thing a sales representative in a gym will say when you walk in the gym? Hello Abhishek, my name is Arun. Please take a seat. That guy has already been sitting for 20 hours. When he's sitting, that means his spine is unloaded for most of the time and he's not using his lower body. Like he's not using 50% of his body at all. So you ask him to sit and talk. Good. Then he calls a trainer. Trainer comes, okay Abhishek, my name is Arun. I'm going to be taking you through a session. Sit on this machine and do chest press.
Right.
Sit on this machine and do lats pull down. Sit on this machine and do leg extension. So that guy has already been sitting for 20 odd hours.
Yeah.
And again in the gym he's sitting. And there's a very cool study that I was recently reading about was that people who work out for 1 hour are as likely to have heart diseases for people who do not work out.
Right.
So you might as well not work out then. Why waste so much time in a gym and do something else which is more creative? So, when I used to give my client this perspective, and I used to tell them, you know, 1 hour that you spend with me, I'm going to make sure that you stand up and train with me. And TRX definitely does that.
Right.
You stand up and train most of the time. You can train all muscle groups. And I used to tell them that 1 hour spent with me is going to make you better in the other 23 hours or whatever you're doing in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I used that in my sales pitch. And uske baad, there was no turning back. I was consistently getting better at my work. I was consistently giving results to my clients. I was making them better at their weekend activities, at them, you know, playing with their kids, at them going for a bike ride, at them going for a trek probably on a weekend. And I was making them better in life. The quality of life was becoming better. Right, so... Kya tha question? Gyms can replace. Okay.
Yes, yes.
Right, so that brings me to the question, can gyms be replaced by suspension training? If you were to ask from my perspective, I definitely think they can.
Yeah, I also think so.
Right, because gyms have got these beautiful, amazing, expensive machines, right, which have that limited range of motion, like limited possibilities when it comes to training. But somebody's looking for aesthetic gains, well, definitely go ahead, do machines, right? Somebody's looking to become a bodybuilder, well, stack up the entire weight, do machines and stuff, and, you know, work out on machines. But then, now, these days, every gym, if you go and see, has a TRX suspension trainer.
Yeah.
Right? They might not have trainers knowing it, but they would definitely have a suspension trainer hanging there. So, that means that it has become popular, or they also somewhere down the line understand this tool can add value to our clients. And right now I work as a freelance personal trainer, and all I carry with me is like my tools, and I use suspension trainer for a lot of different things. I use them for mobility, I use them for stability, I use them for any kind of training that I would want to sort of incorporate in my clients and stuff. So is it good to invest? Well, definitely it's worth investing. Yes. If you are looking fitness as a business, as a career to grow in, well, TRX will definitely help you get, you know, better at a lot of other, you know, it will separate you from the heap of trainers, which, because there are a lot of possibilities with TRX.
I think, I mean,
suspension trainer.
It's a very controversial advice from my side. If people come to your course, the IT professionals which have only 2 hours, they can come, learn with you, and they can just hang a TRX suspension trainer at their home, and, you know, definitely they will eat one job.
No, I mean, you won't believe, I have had so many IT professionals from Bangalore especially, because Bangalore has mostly IT professionals.
Yes.
They prefer to come to a course. Why? Because the gym that they go to has a suspension trainer, but nobody knows how to use it. So, if and well, TRX of course is a solution for a lot of people, right? For somebody who's an IT professional, his probably job is not to become Usain Bolt or Virat Kohli.
Yeah.
His job is to be able to do his whatever he's doing.
Not becoming good at sitting,
right? Yeah. So, not becoming good at sitting or not having the bad effects of sitting.
Yeah.
So, for him, if he comes to the course and takes a suspension trainer, hangs it up, well, that's a win for me and for him and for TRX, because they just sold a strap. And so, yeah, I mean, it might not, I mean, in coming decade, it might not replace the gym, but you will find it in every gym. That's a reality for sure.
Now, there is again a controversial question. Like CrossFit says, or in CrossFit gyms, we have gymnastic rings. And we think gymnastic rings are way better tool than TRX. What are the differences they have, according to you, because you are an expert in TRX? And what are the, weightage? TRX have more weightage than gymnastic rings.
So, the kind of comparison you're asking me to do is, you're asking a football player to play basketball. Dono sports mein ball hai, dono sports mein net hai, but they're very different tools. Now, when we talk about the CrossFit rings, they are mostly from gymnastics.
Yes.
Most of the stuff that happens in gymnastics, you're mostly suspended.
Right.
So, your feet are suspended. Secondly, there are two anchor points.
Right.
When you hang yourself, for example, if you have a bar and you're hanging yourself with two hands, you'll be able to stay still.
Right.
Now, when TRX comes into play, there's a single anchor point.
Yeah.
If you hang with one hand, your body will automatically start to rotate.
Okay. Yes. Right?
That will automatically, yes. The torque will generate because your center of mass is shifting and it will constantly keep shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And in suspension training, we also are not completely suspended in the air.
Right.
Either part of our extremity is touching the floor.
Okay.
So once you have this kind of connection, a single anchor point and either extremity, okay. It could be one hand, two hands, one leg or two, both the legs. So once you have that kind of connection made, then what happens is then, okay, which group of muscles will you use to control rotation?
Definitely your obliques.
Your obliques, right? Your core, yes. You'll use. So once you start incorporating those while you're performing certain exercises, right? You're performing lunges or squats or chest press or pulls and stuff. So once that comes into play, that means you're recruiting a little bit more muscles,
right,
than just dual anchor point. Both of them have got their own benefits, right? Gymnastic, I mean, some of the exercises in gymnast, you know, the rings, I find them very hard and they're very, very complex and they require a lot of technical sound knowledge to be able to perform. If I were to look at TRX, I would definitely give TRX more weightage because A, I'm their spokesperson.
Yeah.
B, I have seen people who don't have legs who are working out on TRX. Mm-hmm. People, I train a lady who doesn't have half of her hand.
Okay.
And she uses a grip to perform some exercise on TRX, support. Right? So, and that's what TRX is, not just black and yellow straps.
Yes.
TRX is a solution. So, as a company, we don't look ourselves as giving just one tool, but we give a solution to people, right? We give you, if somebody is lacking mobility, we give you a solution of mobility, right?
Right.
And now we also use different modalities that can give you that solution. You know, we just don't say that TRX is the only way.
Mm-hmm.
Now we say suspension trainer is one way, mm-hmm. but then also you can use different tools to become better at whatever you're doing. So, if I were to, you know, choose, well, I do some CrossFit ring stuff sometimes, right? Whenever I get an opportunity. But suspension trainer, well, I use it every day. And it's also, there are other things also, you know, the portability. It's easier to find one anchor point because ek tree se aap CrossFit ring nahi tang sakte.
Yes, we can do that.
I mean, you can do it on a horizontal anchor point. But from a vertical anchor point, if I were to see,
yes,
like
yes,
agar
yes.
pole hai, that pole pe only one anchor point can come. So there are some challenges there. And then also, there are very less avenues for fitness professionals to go to and learn the
rings.
Correct form of gymnasts and rings and how to perform exercises, right?
And so, then teach to their clients.
And teach to their clients, right? So, but the thing that I love about TRX is that they have the product, they have the education and they have the innovation.
Right.
They keep upgrading their education. They keep coming up with the latest research. And recently the course has been changed now.
Mm-hmm.
And the new thing that I really like about this course is that, you know, TRX as a movement, as a movement-based company now, mm-hmm. owns the pull movement.
Okay.
So there was a research done on conventional strength exercises on pull and exercise on TRX. And the exercises compared were lats pull down, bent over rows, and seated row.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth exercise was TRX low row.
Uh-huh.
So the researcher found that there was more posterior chain recruitment when the exercise was performed on TRX.
In comparison
to these, yeah. right? So conventional training ke mukable, TRX training is slightly better because you're getting posterior chain. I think. Can you do that on the rings? Of course, you can do that on the rings. So, it's just that we also make sure that we are spending money in research and development
mm-hmm.
just to become better.
I think TRX is much more safer for general population than the rings because
it's a great way to teach movement. It's a great way of breaking limitations.
Mm-hmm.
One of the benefits of TRX suspension trainer is that you can load and unload the straps and yourself.
Mm-hmm.
At any given point during the exercise.
Right.
Like somebody who's not great at doing squats, he can, like somebody who's 71, has trouble getting up from the chair, right? Can use suspension trainer to become better. And then slowly progress to doing body weight squats and then probably weighted mm-hmm. squats. Or probably, you know, whatever he wants to do. So that way I see there are a lot of possibilities when it comes to...
There are so many things like exercises for legs, which you can do with the support of those straps.
We can put your legs
there and rings.
Yes. So, So it's basketball player and football player.
Still, there are so many things which we can do. Like skin the cat, you can hardly do on the TRX, right?
Yeah.
TRX.
So, I mean, muscle up, you can't do on TRX. Definitely. And I think muscle up is one skill that I would love to learn.
Yeah.
I still struggle to get myself up into a muscle up. But then,
in the end, as an educator, I think we have to deal most of the general population, which is not actually going to learn muscle up or interested in learning muscle up ever. So
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, probably muscle up is not for everybody then. Right?
Not at all.
So it's for
the niche,
matlab superhumans or
superhuman, but at least they have provided. They have a lot of time,
so I can definitely train somebody. I can get them ready to do a muscle up.
Yeah.
I can train them as a skill trainer and I can get them ready to at least have enough mobility and stability to do
a muscle
and strength to do a muscle up. Right. So, that's something that I can sort of work on.
I think both of these tools complement each other.
Yeah. They're like, what do you call it? They're like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
So they taste very good when they're together.
Now again, like, This is something that you teach in your certification with foam rollers.
Yeah.
So these days, I mean, when I started training with foam rollers and all, it was a leftover thing in gym.
Yeah.
Nobody even used to touch.
Yeah.
But these days, these tools are in vogue.
Yeah.
Not just foam roller, but their brothers and sisters like Macross ball and other stuff. So, what is the rationale behind foam rolling or any kind of myofascial work, and how can general people use it to make their mobility and pain for lower backs better?
Yeah. So first things first is that there are many researches which support foam rolling and there are many researches which do not support foam rolling, and it's always a an object of debate when it comes to the effect of foam rolling and different stuff. But again, like I said, I'm a spokesperson, so I'm going to only choose the ones which favor me.
No, definitely. One thing I'll agree with, it opens a window of opportunity where
definitely
you feel loser, you can, maintain that window of opportunity.
So, A, does that make your range of motion better? Yes, of course. It makes your range of motion better. Chahe wo chote time ke liye kyun na ho, but it becomes better. Now, I come from a physical therapy background.
Yeah.
Now, what happens is when I take on a person who has some kind of pain or some kind of ailment, right? And I use these, I've got these tools, like I've got PNF stretch is one of the tools. I have foam rolling, which is one of the tools. I've got suspension trainer, which is one of the tools. I've got other mobility exercises and, manipulation of joints and manipulation of soft tissue. I've got all these tools.
Right.
Now, me as a professional, my job is to open my toolbox and choose, now which one am I going to choose for my client so that when he comes back to me after 3 days, he's not as bad as what he is right now.
Right.
So, foam rolling was such a great tool when I started using it for me, because it reduced the relapse of any kind of pain or any kind of problem initially, I'm telling you. So, when I took up foam rolling, when I added it into my practice. Secondly, foam rolling is also called a poor man's massage.
Right.
So, you can't afford to go to a massage center and get a massage done for 2500 rupees every day. But you can definitely use a foam roller, which is only going to cost you 2500 rupees one time.
Yes.
And use it every day to become better. Right. There are levels of progression. You can start from a softer one, go to the harder one, and you can increase the range of motion of moving, smashing and doing, spanning and cross friction, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
So, B is that. C, there's also the course, especially the course that I teach. There's a different way and different kind of coaching that we take people through to foam roll.
Right.
And that is mostly that we add foam rolling and then we add some movement with it. Then we add some stretches. So, it all sort of comes together and makes like a better proposition for somebody who's looking at mobility gains or, wants to get better at some movement.
Mm-hmm.
So these 3-4 concepts, when they come together, they sort of help people to become better at mobility. And that's how foam rolling sort of actually helps.
I think, again, like TRX.
Yeah.
I think most of the laymen should go that kind of workshops more than trainers.
Yeah.
To understand these tools better. I mean, like you said, it's poor men's massage.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, we can use it on daily basis.
Yeah.
Those IT professionals or other people, they can use it.
So, I wouldn't completely agree to this.
Uh-huh.
But I think TRX suspension trainer as a tool, it's a skill to learn.
Right.
Any new tool that you get your hands on. I was reading an article recently and it basically was showcasing what goes in your head when you touch a tool for the first time.
Right.
You know, what kind of sensory response do you get from a tool when you touch it for the first time? And that response was basically that whenever you touch a tool, you just want to do the most difficult stuff with that tool. And that sometimes becomes intimidating.
Hmm.
So, that's a line, and that's like more like a self awareness thing, which sort of comes into play. Jab tak use karoge nahi, tab tak you won't know what are some of the things that you can achieve, what are some of the possibilities that you can achieve. And same goes with foam rolling. When I started doing foam rolling on myself, it used to hurt a lot. But did I become better at moving? Yes, of course, I became better at moving. Was it because of foam rolling? Well, I assume so.
Yeah.
It was because of foam rolling. But I was also doing some other stuff. But foam rolling definitely made me better in recovering. It definitely made me better at moving better. So foam rolling does not have direct impact on performance.
Right.
It has an indirect effect on performance. Like foam rolling will make you better at probably that delayed onset of muscle soreness.
Yes.
It will help you recover quickly maybe. Right? It will help you keep your body supple. Right? It might help you flush some toxins out of the area, right? So, once all these things are considered, I think foam rolling becomes a great skill to learn for people.
Anyone, I think.
For anybody, for even, in fact, everybody. And this is what we say in the course, that foam rolling is as good as brushing your teeth every day. Mm-hmm. And there's another concept called fuzz.
Yeah.
If you must have heard of fuzz speech, that between the overlapping muscle fibers, which are enveloped by myofascia, there's build up of fuzz if it's not used for a prolonged period of time. And that's why when we wake up, we want to stretch our body because that fuzz building happens. And if that fuzz keeps on building week after week, month after month, year after year, it turns into more collagenous structure which forms restriction.
Right.
So foam rolling helps in breaking that fuzz. So if you can use that foam roller to break that fuzz every day, that means you will be better. And again, I want to mention about another very good book which we were just discussing, which is Becoming Like a Supple Leopard. Now, the idea is what? Now, a leopard can sleep for 20 hours on a branch in a very uncomfortable position. But as soon as he sees a prey, he can produce 0 to 120 kilometers per hour within a fraction of seconds.
Yes.
Right? Wo foam rolling to nahi karta, shikar dekhne se pehle. He doesn't foam roll, he doesn't stretch or do anything. But he's so supple, and the muscles, they are so, the quality of movement are so well, that he's able to achieve that performance. Now, humans cannot be that supple because our lifestyle does not allow us to be very mobile. Our lifestyles, we have to sit for most of the times, and you know, we're not so active if you look at least the metropolitan cities. So we can't achieve that kind of performance immediately. So we need something to keep us supple.
Yeah.
And I think foam rolling is not the only, but one of the answers to becoming slightly supple and do movement and then become more supple,
right?
And then do some exercise and then become further more supple.
Yeah. Like I follow this lady Kate Gelati. She like, move your DNA.
Yeah.
She said sleep, like if you really want, like you said, foam roller is one solution.
Yeah.
According to her, moving a lot,
yeah,
even while you're sleeping, and sleeping on the floor can help.
Definitely, definitely.
I mean, it's kind of foam rolling.
Yeah.
The floor is doing for you.
Yeah, yeah, of course, of course. Being in one position and being adaptability to various kind of... in fact, there's a comparison between floor and bed.
Mm-hmm.
And they figured out sleeping on floor was better because your joints and how you're placed is much better. And now, in fact, in States, there are a couple of studios that I know.
Mm-hmm.
They train you on how to lie down on the floor. So that's what they're going towards. I mean, they will keep you in one position on the floor, and the entire session, you only turn from your right to the left and left to the right and again right to the left only twice. So you can imagine that you have to spend so much time in one position, right, and then keep moving slowly and then do some adjustment and then move and then move and then move. I mean, that's more adaptability. I mean,
yeah, because
we are going back to our primitive ages. Like, us time pe kahan pe gadde wadde hote the, we didn't have any
memory foam.
That's why we were
more supple,
right,
and war ready all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I have spent almost 2 years sleeping on the floor,
yeah,
except in the winters.
Okay.
Yeah, and I have seen a lot of changes in my body. I'm becoming more mobile without using so many tools to mobilize myself.
Yeah,
I think that is the way.
Yeah. But everybody would not like to sleep on the floor.
Yes.
In today's
age. That's true. I mean, people earn a lot of money to sleep on the floor. It's a weird concept.
They have different choices of mattresses to back up.
Yes. First time I saw that, you take a certification in taping.
Yep.
First time I saw these colorful tapes in CrossFit Games in 2012.
Yeah.
They were athletes. You know, CrossFitters get into any anything very, very fast.
Yeah.
So I saw first time some athletes were using, and then I saw a lot of Olympians are using them.
Yeah.
What are the basics of taping, which we can understand, like a layman can understand general language, and how can they choose those professionals if there are any in India?
Yep. So again, taping is one tool which can definitely help professionals like me when it comes to rehab work. I use it a lot in rehab. Also, it helps in reducing the relapse. Now, some of the conditions that I use taping in is like, for example, if somebody has got ankle sprain per se, right, and they've got swelling around their ankle, but I want the swelling to go, so I would use a lymphatic drainage technique for the swelling to sort of be taken to the muscle, and the muscle can pump it, and you know, we can take, so we can increase the recovery so that the blood pooling does not happen here. One is that. B is that because it's the ability of it to stretch, right, it gives you, once you put the tape on your skin, it gives you that feel. You stay connected to that. For example, if I know a client of mine, he has to sit for too long, and after 30, 40, 1 hour of sitting, he slouches, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just to sort of give him a tape, which can give him a feedback of saying, you know what, just get up, straighten up, I can use it there. I can use it around joints to make joints more stable. When I know there's some ligamentous issue, you know, I can use there, you know, in a sports probably. When I know a client is, you know, an athlete is prone to an injury, right? And there's a vulnerability test that every sports has in terms of its specific. And even FMS tells us the vulnerabilities of, you know, what can happen. And if you go a little bit more deeper into the screenings, you'll be able to know that how these movement specialists, they see movements and they can predict that in that particular sport you're going to get injured in this joint or this area, right? So once we have that kind of information, anything that helps us to prevent that, coaches are ready to accept that tool or exercise or mobility or whatever the solution is. And taping is one of those solutions. That's why you see them so many times in Olympians, because athletes have gone through that vulnerability test. They know that they're weak in this structure or that structure. So that's why they make sure that they're already taped there so that they don't happen to injure it.
Right.
And the first experience that I had with taping was when I was, when I graduated, just before that, I was an exchange student. I went to UK and I worked there for about 6 months or so. And I worked there with the hospital, and after my hospital, I used to go and work as an assistant physio for a rugby team.
Right.
And these players have the maximum number of injuries. It's a contact sport.
Yeah.
And to see them train, to see, you know, how they were using kinesiology taping, not just to prevent injuries, but to also improve performance.
Right.
Right. So we used to, so rugby players have this, you know, when they have a, like just in football, when they have kicks, penalty kicks, they are very away from those two bars, and they have to get the, you know, the ball through those two bars. And when they kick it, the kicking leg, we used to put kinesio taping in a way that it used to initiate the short stretch cycle, the SSC. Okay. So when they used to bend their knee, the kinesio tape provided them some bit of assistance to kick a little harder, get that reflex to sort of move.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely use, you know, kinesio taping in those ways also to improve performance.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, rehabilitation, it's one of the choice of tools that I use. If I've treated something, if I don't want that biomechanics to be altered because of their pattern, I will probably tape it up in a way that it does not come back to the same pattern. And also with that, I'll teach them the exercises that makes the other structures around it stronger,
mm-hmm.
which will help them not get the biomechanics back into a faulty manner.
So, where do you think people should go to get these tapings done? Like, you are just one person.
Yeah.
So, professionals, do you think we have enough professionals in this country or in this city at least?
Where well, we can I'll, go and... I'll be optimistic and say yes,
yeah.
we have enough professionals. So, if somebody is looking to get kinesio taping, do not follow YouTube videos and do it yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they work on very different principles. Sometimes even putting a tape can alter your myofascia in a way that it might be not so beneficial, might have some problems in your movement patterns and stuff. So, physical therapists who actually use it, you know, with regularly mm-hmm. or who have had training in this skill, try and find them out in your area, and especially trainers or coaches in gyms and studios, wherever they work, they should definitely know at least one or two professionals around their space, so they can create that kind of network. And because it's required, because sometimes you get athletes where your knowledge fails at times, right? You cannot give them 100% solution.
Yeah, it cannot be everybody.
Right. So you need to have that kind of network, and if professionals have network and if they start working like that, it could also generate a source of revenue for them. You know, the referral system can also work from there, and you have a healthy relationship with the professional whom you're sending people to, and know that, you know, this guy has treated it, and again, it's word to mouth, and the word of mouth really actually plays a major role in choosing professional nowadays,
mm-hmm.
because nobody sees qualification. So that's how it...
So we should work in collaboration.
Working in collaboration is definitely something that I would suggest if they're looking for any kind of professional help at this level.
Okay. Tell us something about your brainchild, Shafingo.
Now, Shafingo, there's another story. There's so many stories.
Yes.
So... you know, when I was 16 years old, उस टाइम पे 10th के बोर्ड्स के पेपर दिए थे मैंने, and that was the time when in Gurgaon first McDonald's opened up, first ever McDonald's opened up. I remember I used to walk 3.5 kilometers just to have one burger and then come back. So I used to burn off all the calories that I used to consume. So I used to go to McDonald's, have burger, come back, and this was when we have 3 months ka off between the board's examination. And you have to choose the subjects for 11th standard. So, I wasn't doing any prep or anything because I wasn't sure if I will get science or not. I was not the smartest guy. And so one day I saw a poster saying that we're looking for part-time employees, you know, who could work for 6 hours, and the age limit was 16. I was over 16. So without even telling my parents, I joined their part-time. Not because I needed money, but because I needed burgers. I wanted to eat burgers. So I joined that place, but I was always interested in what was going on the other side of the shelf, like what was happening. My job there was to clean tables and mop the floors. I did that for 2 good months, and but I was always, I really loved the idea of creating food, making food, you know, I was always interested in that. So somewhere down the line I wanted to become a chef, but like you see, we come from Indian, you know, middle class families where back in, you know, 13, 14 years ago, there were only 3 professions, lawyer, doctor, or engineers. So, of course, my father wanted to become a doctor himself. Somewhere down the line, he must have failed. That's why he became master's in economics. Then he wanted my elder brother to become a doctor. I think he couldn't stand the dissection of a frog. So, he did his commerce and he did his MBA. So, I was the guinea pig for him. And somehow I got good marks in science. So he put me in that trade where he wanted me to become a doctor. And so that little dream of becoming a chef or creating something or creating food was still there. So the entire journey, I became a physical therapist, then I came into fitness, then I became a personal trainer, then I became an educator. Then I was, one fine day, I was training one of my clients and he was very excited. He's like, you know, I've opened a biryani joint and I'm really excited that, you know, there's huge demand for biryani and stuff. So I told him, you know what, I'm also looking at a solution for my clients because sometimes, you know, I'm not sure if they're eating the correct kind of food or not. Because two things that I love to know about my athletes is that what do they eat and how much do they sleep, like the recovery unka kaisa. So I told him that, you know, I want to use your space to make some healthy food and to deliver them to their doorstep and stuff. So he said, you know, aise ho nahi payega, mera Indian kitchen hai, you are talking about continental food, you know, I don't know what you're talking about, so I don't think it's going to be possible. How about you look at a place right next to mine which was empty. And so I had a look at the place and that was an impulsive decision. Maine jagah dekhi and I gave a check to the landlord saying, give me the keys, when can you give me the keys, when can I start the work. And the flip side to it was that we took the space. After we took the space, we had no idea what to do. And for 2 months, we didn't have the name, we didn't have the logo, we didn't have where are we going to get the equipments from, how will we manage the manpower, how will the logistics happen. And I just impulsively went into it. Sometimes, you know, we've just completed 2 years, by the way. And we also, during that process of 2 years, we regretted quite a lot that why did we open this, and we could have done something else, we could have done something in my trade, like we could have opened a studio or something. But I think it all, you know, paid off well, because in that 2 months, I think I did a crash course of MBA. So entrepreneurship. So yeah. That bug had bitten me, and I knew that, you know, that dream of becoming a chef when I was 16, I think this is where it had to lead me to. And I think it was my destiny to be in this space. So from there, we just somehow managed everything. We had help from, you know, a lot of people. I was fortunate enough that I had help from so many, you know, members around me. So then we got the equipments, we got the manpower, we trained them, then, you know, we started delivering. Now we are open from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. So we deliver all across Gurgaon. And we're also looking to expand now. And this year, we also are looking at two spaces to come up with two more kitchens. So that's it's paid off. So that's how Chefingo came into existence.
It's a great, great story, as well as it could be a great tool for most of us. I mean, nobody wants to cook the food.
Right. And, you know, we are living in a very fast moving, you know, lifestyle that you want everything rapidly, quickly, and you don't want to waste time. Time is so precious. And, you know, you want to see the entire season of Game of Thrones in one go. You, like, when I was a kid, we used to wait for weeks for some serial to come. Yes. Like, I used to watch Chandrakanta when I was a small kid. Mm-hmm. That was the only popular one at that time. So, we used to wait for weeks for it to come on Sunday. But now, everything is, you know, time has got so much value that you can watch everything. You want food, you can get it within 15, 20, 30 minutes max. And I think this is a great space. And I'm still learning. It's not that I've become successful. I don't think I'll ever be successful, because success for me is an end point.
Right.
Success is like, you know, it's very vague for me. I don't think I'll ever want to be
successful.
I just want to be good at the process. Hustler. Yeah. But I want to be good at the process. I want to enjoy the process of reaching success, if there is any, for me in any field.
I hope you'll reach Delhi very soon.
Delhi. I hope so.
From where you get the idea about Move Fit? I mean, this is, we used to see Asia Fitness Convention and other like EBFA, the Fitness Convention, and other fitness convention around the world. But how did you get this idea? And I mean, how's Move Fit doing? When we're gonna see the next Move Fit Summit?
So Move Fit is another company that I'm partner of, and so we are three partners. My friend Javed and Saif. Actually, Saif was the guy who's the head trainer in Gold's Gym. Now the irony is that we guys work together.
Okay.
And so we guys are partner in MoveFit. And MoveFit Summit was, I think it happened because there was need of it to happen. There was a need of the fitness professionals to know what was going on at a global scale. And so the one that we did last year was the second edition of it. And we jumped from, I think we had, on the first one we had 50 odd people, the last one we had about 200 people. So we were really satisfied with the kind of jump we had in terms of the numbers who joined us. And now we're looking to do the third one in Bangalore. Because I see Bangalore has got great potential in terms of, you know, they want education. They want to know more. So that hunger is there. So definitely we are going to be doing MoveFit Summit 3. But again, the idea was to give affordable and accessible education to anybody and everybody. MoveFit is not just for trainers or professionals. It's for even anybody who works out three times a week and who does a 9-to-5 job. If he wants to know a little bit more about fitness, well, we are happy to, you know, have you.
And at the same time, not every trainer is capable to go to Bangkok or to California.
Right. So, yes. Affordability, accessibility. So, these were two main things what I kept in mind when I was designing MoveFit Summit. In fact, we were designing MoveFit Summit. And yeah, so it paid off really well because we got a great response. And you'll be surprised that 70% of people who came to MoveFit Summit were not from Delhi.
Mm-hmm.
We did it in Delhi, but they were not from Delhi. They were from other parts. So we had people from 11 different cities of India. We had people who came from Kolkata, Patna, Indore, Lucknow, Chennai, Coimbatore, Bangalore, Mumbai, Pune, you know, Hyderabad, all these other places. So that was a sure, you know, affirmation of the fact that there is definitely need. And if we do it on a regular basis, there are also chances that we might become, you know, one of the only ones in India who are successful and who are actually delivering good education. There are many events that happen, but they're mostly exhibitions. They're mostly exhibitions of, you know,
fitness equipment and all.
Right, fitness equipment ho gaya, ya phir physique elite competitions ho gaya, so
supplements
and stuff. They add value to fitness professionals who are domains are into physique and bodybuilding and stuff. But I thought in this domain, we can definitely create a niche.
And you give chances to Indian trainers and fitness educators also.
Right. So again, to be able to create a platform for, you know, budding fitness educator. Maybe get budding you. Maine bhi wahan pe kaafi sare session kare the.
I mean, you are training people worldwide these days. You took in sessions in Hong Kong, I guess?
No, I'm going to be taking a session in Bangkok. Okay. That's going to happen next month.
Asia
Fitness Convention, right. So, but I've taken sessions in Dubai and Doha and, you know, many other different countries like Bali and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I wanted to create that space for Indian educators to also sort of be motivated enough to read about stuff and, you know, be good at what they were doing.
Every entrepreneur have some morning habits,
some
success habits, and, you know, you're very busy. Like a trainer like me, I don't want to be busy.
Okay.
I do very less work. I invest most of the time in my own training,
learning
different stuff. But you have 4 or 5 different business and you have to give a lot of time to that. How do you get ready for that in the morning? What are those success secrets? Please share with us.
I mean, they're not success secrets.
I mean, for me, this is success. For you, it is a journey.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the only thing that helps me, you know, in managing everything is that I've got impeccable work ethic. So if I'm committed to something, I do not leave that in the middle. I always make sure that I finish it. It could be a crappy finish, but I make sure that I finish it. And when I was, you know, getting into creating Chefingo and, you know, other companies that I was forming, I was fortunate enough to get mentored from very good, you know, successful people who have their businesses running, you know, since 3-4 decades. And that's where I used the communication part when I was training my clients. And see, again, that brings me to a point. When somebody buys personal training, that means they've already made enough money that they have that luxury of getting somebody home and then training. Yeah. And, you know, they have that kind of luxury. That means they have something definitely to teach you from the business point of view. I can teach you exercises and training and all of that, but they can teach me business. So it was like a two-way communication that happened, you know, with a few members of mine. And I was just lucky that I was, you know, able to grasp most of it, because I did not have business acumens at all. I still don't have them. I only learned that, you know, when you are getting into the entrepreneurial journey, it's going to be very tough. Out of 10, only one will be successful. And then one who is successful has to be mad as crazy, has to have that zeal that, you know, there's nothing that you cannot do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm the kind of guy who will bite off a little bit more than I can chew. So, I've always had that attitude in whatever field I was in, whatever work I'm doing. So, impeccable work ethic, definitely. Second thing that keeps me motivated is, of course, the will of being financially independent, will of, you know, having, you know, my own house and my own car and, you know, multiplying them.
Yeah.
So that, of course, is second motivation, because I want to be, of course, have money to at least have.
Yeah, because trainer's life is very short in this country.
Right, very short. Trainer. Right, right. Yes. I mean, you'll be surprised that when I was five years, it's, I think it's been almost 6 years that I left Fitness First. And I had applied for a loan, and the bank rejected my loan, saying that we don't give loans to personal trainers, and which is a sad reality. A lot of banks, especially the private banks, they don't give loans to personal trainers. Because kya hota hai, personal trainers, they work on commission basis, right, if they're working in a gym. Mm. If you're working at a commission basis, that means you don't have a fixed salary.
Mm.
And if you don't have a fixed salary, that means a bank cannot guarantee, or you cannot guarantee a bank that will you be able to make same kind of money tomorrow or next month or next week or next year, whatever. So it's not an assured income that you have. And a lot of personal trainers, they struggle like this. They have cash in hand, great, but do they have the credit scores, or do they have enough financial independence to get a loan? And that's also, like I told you, I'm also working on that aspect. You know, aspect also, by creating a product for personal trainers where they can learn those soft skills, they can learn time management, they can learn financial management, they can learn how to put their money to work to make more money, how they can market themselves, you know, inside a gym, outside a gym, you know, how can they become a leader, and how can they multiply their income by 5x or 10x, you know, in coming time. So that was something that was really bothering me. So that was, again, you know, motivation for me to come into this space, and, you know, to, or startup ka bada culture hai aajkal.
Yes.
So you might never know when you,
hey, but
you know,
it's very new in fitness industry. Like, people like to have 20 personal trainings.
Yeah.
Keep training them. But they never see what will happen next after 10 years.
Right.
Will they be able to again get up in the morning at 4 o'clock and run for personal trainings? And it won't be possible.
It's a time consuming job.
It's a time consuming job. And, like, I only take 2 personal trainings in the morning, and it's really hard. If you're training really well someone,
you
have to invest a lot of
Your energy levels have to be super high, because I am a strong believer that, you know, energies, they get transferred when you meet people. When I train, there are some trainings where I come out exhausted. I come out that I cannot do anything, and, you know, that's the time when I think, you know what, I shouldn't have booked more sessions.
Right.
But then I've trained myself to conserve some energy as, you know, I'm training people. Yes. And that's, again, comes with time management. How do you manage your time? How do you keep your nutrition in place? Like, being on the road all the time, I need to keep my nutrition in place. So all these aspects, they're like, just, you know, it's become a lifestyle for me now. It's not that I have to plan it. It's not a job for me. You know, I don't do a job. It's not a job.
Like, people say, motivation is a kind of muscle. If you train it more,
right,
you'll grow it.
That's it.
So you have grown it up to a certain level.
I've grown to a certain level where I can manage everything, you know, smoothly
even if you're
enough.
Sleepy.
Right. I can do that.
Okay. Arun, where do you see yourself? I mean, it's a very cliched question.
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself and MoveFit in next 10 years? Because MoveFit, I think this is something which must grow. And trainers can learn a lot of things, especially beginners who are entering in this industry can earn a lot of things. Where do you see it?
So this is one question I ask myself every 6 months. Okay. Where do I see myself every 6 months? Where do I see myself every 1 year? Mm-hmm. And I do goal setting for myself that I've been very particular about ever since I started working and earning money. Where do I see myself financially? Where do I see myself in terms of growth as a professional? Am I known in the domain that I'm in? So I always look at these questions. And so 10 years is a long, long way. I definitely see myself working mm-hmm. in the next 10 years. I don't want to sort of rest and be complacent in what I'm doing. I definitely see giving shapes to new ideas. And as far as MoveFit is concerned, I'm very adamant about the fact that I'm going to make it an annual property. I will grow it irrespective of the fact if I have to fund it to the T or if I get anybody to help me to fund it or not, I'm definitely going to take it forward because that's something that indirectly helps me as an educator.
Right.
Because I definitely have an opinion that every one of us has set talents,
right.
You know, has set strengths. And I don't read books. Mm-hmm. I'm a very bad reader. Maine jitni books padhni thi, I read in my physiotherapy education. But now I am a very bad reader. I have a book in my car for almost a month now. And I've only managed to read 2 pages. And it's a very interesting book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Yes.
And so you can tell me probably after this podcast what's there in the book because I don't want to read it.
Yes.
I'm more of a communication kind of guy. I hate reading. But there was one book that was suggested to me by somebody which is Strengths Finder. Mm-hmm. And it is used by Gallup Consultancy quite a lot. And they have a questionnaire where the book says that only work on your strengths and don't work on your weaknesses.
Okay.
If you start working on your weaknesses, that means you're wasting time.
Right.
And if you actually think about it, it's actually pretty true. If I start working on things that I'm not good at, that means I'm not giving attention to these strengths that I'm good at.
Hmm.
So, I took that test. I know what are my strengths and what is the sequence of my strengths.
Hmm.
So, I only play on my strengths. And one of my biggest strengths is being a relator.
Right.
I'm a great, you know, I love to make relationships. I make relationships very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
People matter to me more than money or any kind of incentive I get. So that's something which helps me in my personal training and being an educator.
Right.
I'm able to relate to people. Having good command, being an achiever, you know, all of these things. And good thing about that book is it only tells you good stuff about you. It doesn't tell you your weaknesses.
Yeah.
So when I did that test, you know, I sit with my mind coach every 6 months and we sit and we break down my goals. So when I break down my goals, I look at my strengths again and see which strengths can I use to achieve which goal.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, it's going to go through a process
right.
of achieving, you know, being financially being independent or being, you know, having more business or, you know, doing more sales or whatever it is. So I always make goals and use different strengths to see my potential
right.
of growth every single time I do goal settings. So for next calendar year, I'm very excited. I'm looking at expanding Chefingo. I'm looking at doing MoveFit Summit 3. From my personal growth aspect, I am definitely looking at increasing the benchmark of number of sessions I've been doing every month. I'm also looking at, you know, taking on more online personal training clients that I'm doing right now. So probably more than that. I'm also working on building my own website to
right.
make it more professional looking so that people can also use that website to learn more. Because
right.
we are also in process of making exercise videos and, you know, some short videos where we can give some concepts out to people which can help them probably improve their workout or diet or nutrition or whatever it is. So, that also is going to be like a resource for
right.
people to get back to. So, we're definitely working on that. So, next calendar year, I've got lots of work already piled up for myself. But, yeah, I see myself working and I see myself growing in next 10 years.
Any last message to listeners, maybe trainers or lay person?
I'm a great hater of the fact when I ask people what is your passion and they say fitness is my passion. It's a wrong statement to say.
Yes.
And my message would be that when you, the kind of words you choose to communicate your message, it sends a different kind of message to anybody. Like for example, like I know that you will not use the word workout because workout is something different from training. Workout does not have a purpose. It only has a purpose to sweat. And training has a purpose to achieve an end goal.
Right.
I would very rarely use the word trainer. Like mostly I have to because I'm an educator and have to be in that field. I don't use trainer quite a lot. I use coach because trainers are for dogs and horses.
Yeah.
Humans have coaches.
Right.
So when the only message that I'll use, you know, I'll use this platform to give out to the listeners is when you choose the kind of words to showcase your abilities or to help you grow in your profession, you need to be very picky with the kind of words you choose, because if you use the right kind of word, you will get the right kind of respect that you deserve in the field of fitness. And I mean, that's about it. So use the right kind of word, be very, very picky with the kind of words you use, know the real meaning of it, because what you're communicating is what will come back to you. When you give something more than what you can today, you will get something more than what you gave in the past.
Right.
And it'll always keep increasing. It's like a ladder. So you keep that thing in mind, whatever it is. You're giving personal training, you're giving group exercise session, or you're giving some coaching or online PT, whatever you're giving, just add value. Just step into the shoes of the end user. See if it is giving you value. Because people in today's time, which is so fast moving, they only need two things. Either you solve their problem, or you help them achieve a goal.
Right.
So problem, that means something has happened in the past that has screwed them up. So either you correct that or you help them achieve their goal. If you can do that, they will take you with them in the journey of their life in the longest time that you can imagine. Yeah, that's my
great message.
Only message.
Thanks for this amazing conversation and this amazing afternoon. We'll bring you back again on some specific topics before MoveFit Summit.
Sure.
Try to do that.
Sure.
Thanks.
I'll be so happy. And thank you so much for this opportunity. And I think you're doing a great job. I wish you all the very best. It's a very, very niche space that you've come in. And wishing you and Sagar all the very best with this podcast. And I'll be excited to see when this comes out. Thank you so much.
This was Mr. Abhishek in conversation with our serial entrepreneur Arun Chahal. Like us on Facebook and subscribe on iTunes and Audioboom for more such content. We will be back soon with another amazing persona. Till then, stay tuned. This is Sagar Gupta and you are listening to Road to Revamp.